The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
I mentioned yesterday our Newsmakers series that's going to be running between now and the end of the year, looking back on some of the big stories and some of the more notable interviewees that we have had on this show. Yesterday was a cause for celebration. We were looking back on Ireland's success at the Olympic Games, and we spoke to Phil Healy and Sophie Becker, two members of that 4x4 relay team, and here's a marathon team, but the 4x4 relay team. We had a great chat, and like I say, it was a cause for celebration. We are turning, though, to issues much more somber, much more serious now, because Zach Hania is back with me. People will remember we spoke to Zach in the summer a couple of times after he had managed to get out of Gaza, having spent several months trapped in the enclave, bombarded by the Israelis now for more than 12 months. And Zach is back with me in studio. Zach, it's good to see you again.
Thank you. Thank you, Ken.
Thank you for joining us. You might just remind us, how long were you in Gaza? How long were you trying to get out, and how did you get out in the end?
I was lucky to be able to leave Gaza in May, because after 4 days, the border was closed and nobody was allowed to leave or to get in. Until now, nobody is allowed to leave or get in Gaza. I stayed like from the beginning until May, but my wife and kids were able to leave Gaza in November last year. So I stayed behind, and we were separated for 7 months. Lucky enough, I was able to leave in May and join my family here in Dublin. Yeah.
That's your immediate family, but you've got a lot of family still in Gaza, isn't that right?
Yeah, yeah. All my sisters, my brothers, my nephews, my cousins, all the family are still in Gaza. I have only one sister. She left because she has heart issues, and she was lucky enough as well to leave Gaza. And she went to Qatar. She has a son there. But the rest of my sisters, my brothers, are in the south, in the north. All the families are separated. All the families, they have, like, you know, agonies. All the families are scattered here and there. I am here in Ireland. My one sister is in Qatar. Some sisters are in the south of Gaza, some in the north. My oldest sister, she died in the war because of hunger and lack of medication. So all the families are separated and scattered and broken, and just, like, you know, scattered here and there.
And as well as your sister who died, you and I, when we last spoke as well, your family had been met with awful tragedy, where kind of in the extended family, huge numbers had been killed.
Yeah.
Over a short period.
Yeah. It's not only my family. All the families, all the people in Gaza are going through very difficult and unbelievable times and experience. I lost about 35 of my direct cousins, and over 80 or 85 of my extended families. I lost a cousin about a month ago, and I lost some of my extended families 2 weeks ago. And last week, one of my aunt's grandsons, he was recorded on the news. He was trying to leave his home with his family, and the drones shot fire at them. His wife died, his three daughters, one son, and he was screaming on the outside, and he's like going crazy, and he say, I don't want to stay. I want to go with them. I have nothing left to stay. It was very a tragic thing to see him talking to the media, and they were not allowed. He was trying to get an ambulance to go back to the area where they are, like, you know, laying dead on the street, and the Israeli army shot at the ambulance at them. It is recorded. And this is like going on for all the families. Every family now in Gaza suffers and lost some relatives, some family members, some friends. I have like, you know, tens and hundreds of family members, friends, neighbors. Too many people that, and every day we are hearing about some people who are killed, that we know them, like, you know, in our neighborhood, in the area, colleagues, friends, all the friends. And every day we're hearing about people that are killed and we know them. And it's hard to really to cope with this tragedy and this genocide.
When you speak to your sisters who are there, or other family members, what is daily life like? What's the routine in terms of, you know, getting food, getting water, medical supplies that might be needed?
Everything is scarce now in Gaza. Last week, they had like a wintry weather. It was raining. The sea was high. When I was in Rafah, the beach was, say, like a third of the beach was full of tents. And after they invaded Rafah, after I left Gaza, they invaded Rafah, and the beach was full of tents. And now the sea was high last week, and it went on the beach, and it took all the tents, and people became like, you know, no shelters,
yeah,
and nowhere to go. Even the tents, when I talk to my sisters, to my friends, to my... Even the tents, the people, they have tents and they stay in the tents. The tents are old and all worn out, and it doesn't protect them from like rain, from wind. And it's very cold. They say like we are freezing in the tents, and we are trying to get close to each other to keep warm. And they are not allowing to any materials like tents or sheets to go into Gaza, especially in the southern part of Gaza. Because there are a lot of people evacuated from the north, and they are in the southern part of Gaza, and a lot of houses are destroyed, and most people are in tents, and they can't bear, like, you know, life, and it's unimaginable. Until now, I cannot believe I cannot make sense. I cannot process all what is happening. It's happening for 1 year, 2 months. And the world is watching this genocide and killing. And nobody is doing anything like, you know, real to stop this. And it's happening in front of everybody's eyes. People are suffering. Even like, you know, when you wake in the morning, you don't have water to wash. You don't have water to drink. You have to struggle to get some water from here or there.
Yeah,
you have to struggle to get some food. And the situation in the last month is very difficult. I think yesterday some flour, because people depend on the flowers. They make like, you know, baked flowers and they eat.
Yeah.
And in the last month, it's very difficult. It's one bag of flowers, 25 kilos, cost 250 euros.
For a 25 kilo bag of flour?
Yes. One egg is 16 shekel. It's about 4 euro for one egg.
For an egg.
Because there is scarce materials. They are not allowing enough materials to go into Gaza. And the UN is talking about, the whole population is facing malnutrition.
Yeah.
Because of lacking, you know, the enough and the nutrient food. So imagine, like, you are struggling every day and living in fear as well, like... Aside from having the basic needs like water and flour or bread to eat, you're living in fear. The drones are above you all the time, constant.
Tell me about what impact that has on people, on people's mental state. You know, because a lot of people listening to this, they might have seen the footage a couple of weeks ago of that bomb landing in the refugee camp, or a couple of weeks previously, there was that image of a man on a hospital drip being burned alive. You know, these are kind of seared into our minds, but still, for us, it's happening over there, a long way away. What's it like, well, for you, given that you've got family there and you were there not too long ago, and what's it like for your family, knowing that kind of... They could be walking down the street. They could be just going out to get water. They could be looking for food or a bag of flour, and then bang.
Yeah, yeah. To be honest, I was talking to one of my first cousins, and he said, And like, you know, I want to say this. I know it's very sad to say this. He said, death is better than staying alive in this, in these conditions. And people say, the people who survived, the people who died, because of what they are going through, it's unbearable. Even when I was, when I was there, it's like, it's like you don't exist. Your human, your spirit is not existent anymore. You exist as a body, but your spirit is not there. Your humanity is dead, and you function as a body, as a material. You just want to drink and eat and survive. And some friends, they told me this is like survival mode. The brain goes on survival mode, and but the problem when it goes for a long time, it affects, you know, the nerve system and the body and everything. So people like walking dead, you know, their spirit, their heart is not existent anymore because of what they are going through. And imagine you're feeling that you're going to die any moment because of the drones above you, and they hit anywhere, and you don't know where is the next target or where is the next hit. So imagine you living in fear day and night. It's very, like, you know, psychologically, it's very traumatic and very hard. And the UN head and UNRWA head, they talk about the psychological trauma that people have. And we don't have any rehabilitation facility or psychological help in Gaza Strip now. Yeah. And people are facing, you know, all this traumatic experience and are not able to cope with it. I don't know, maybe you heard as well about the children. Now we have a record number in Gaza of children amputees and people amputees. That's awful. This is the 21st century that we are living. And we are talking, we are civilized. The humanity has come a long way to become a civilized, and still we having all these atrocities and these crimes that is happening in front of us. That really shocks me until this moment, that this has been going and it's still going, and the world is allowing this. The world powers and governments are not taking enough actions to stop this. Yeah. Genocide and these crimes, it really shocks me, and I cannot make sense. I make sense of this.
Yeah, and you experienced all that trauma as well for those 7 months. You were there. So can I ask how you've coped with it, and whether, and I know this sounds like a strange question on the face of it, but you know, when you get up in the morning and you can have a hot shower and there's food in the fridge, and you can go to the doctor if you need to see the doctor, and you can walk around, you can come into the studio, and you're not worried about drones overhead. Like, that almost have an impact on you as well. You know, we hear about survivor's guilt, that type of thing.
Yeah. Like when I was in Gaza, I wake up in the morning, I feel so tired, and I have fatigue all the time, even now. And when I wake, I stay in bed like raw. I stay on the ground. I was sleeping on the ground, maybe for 2 hours, contemplating about leaving the bed and go to the toilet. I stayed in a house, more than 50 people, children, women, and men, are staying in one flat, and it has only one toilet.
Yeah.
And there are, like, you know, we go to the toilet, and it's always busy. And when sometimes you go and there is no water, not sometimes, most of the time, there is no water, and you have to look for water to go to wash and to use the toilet. Sometimes I go to other house. My parents-in-law were close to where I was staying, so I go there and I say, sorry, I'm coming to use the toilet. And that's the story of everyday life, and all people are facing the same. I still not feeling like, you know, I am okay now. I can have clean water. I can drink. I can.
Yeah.
I'm grateful for this, but at the same time, it's very hard to be okay in these circumstances while it's still going, and I'm watching every day a tragic and the graphic footages of people killed, and the bodies are in the streets. I remember when I was in northern part of Gaza, I went to Ashifa. I was doing a reporting for a magazine. I stayed 2 hours and I couldn't bear anymore. I was feeling like sick. It's not a hospital. It was like a slaughterhouse. People injured and dead are on the ground of the reception and the emergency department.
Yeah.
And people on top of each other. It's you hardly be able to walk. That's unbelievable. It's really shocking. I don't understand how the world is allowing, how they have, you know, the heart to not do enough to stop this genocide and these crimes. I don't know. Are we human beings? They are treating us as the human beings like everyone else. Really, I ask myself all the time, why the world is not doing enough? Do they consider us the big powers? Do they consider us as human beings like everybody in this world? Why do we have to go through all this? Why do we have to suffer all this? Why do we have to be born in a refugee camp and suffer all of our life? Why our parents were displaced when they were kids from their village, which is in Israel now, and they lived the rest of their life in refugee camps and suffer all wars and trauma and tragedy and genocides? Why? We are humans. We are like everybody else in this world. We want freedom. We want justice. We want to live as a free human beings. We are not asking for an impossible thing.
Zach Hania, thank you, Zach, again for coming into us.
Thank you. Thank you.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.